Welcome to worship and happy Father's Day. The words to the music and the summer creed included in this worship service are below. If you scroll down, you'll see them in the body of the text of this sermon entry. Note that our Zoom room is open for Holy Communion at 11 o'clock. So if you prepare bread and wine or grape juice, join that prayer room by clicking the link below. Communion will take place from 11 to 11:15. We'll have a time of fellowship from 11:15 to 11:30. From 11:30 to noon, we have a time to talk about the sermon and about the texts and about worship, to a time of feedback and a time to connect with the pastors and with other people thinking about these things. So we hope that you'll engage in these things as you feel like that's appropriate for you. Again, we hope that you're blessed by worship.
O Holy One, hear our prayers, confessing all that lies uneasily in our hearts. O Holy One, help us to admit that we are broken, broken by fear and hate, by apathy and greed, broken by sorrow and anxiety.
Mend the broken places and make them stronger.
O Holy One, we miss the people that used to be a part of our lives. We grieve the death of our beloveds, the dying of our friends, the estrangement from family, relationships lost because of time and distance.
Help us to put aside the past hurts, to reach out, to reconnect, to reconcile. Help us to the life that lies beyond death.
O Holy One, we are lost and cannot find our way home. The path we're on seems unfamiliar and frightening. We have wandered from our true self. We cannot see where you are leading us, if you are leading us.
Come and find us. Rescue us from the frightening places.
O Holy One, there is just too much, and we are so anxious about it all, about war, about fire and flooding and earthquake, about politics and division, about scarcity, about loneliness.
Infuse peace and serenity in our hearts.
O Holy One, we are so proud of our accomplishments that we are blind to the victories of others and blithely ignore you as the source of all gifts. We think we can do it all on our own, and our egos are so puffed up. Everything seems a competition, and winner takes all.
Open our eyes to the wonders of the people around us and remind us that you empower all of us.
O Holy One, we are locked up in cells of our own making and in the prisons our culture creates. We are bound by correctness and tradition, by habit and niceness, by norms whose usefulness expired decades ago.
Free us, liberate us, release us from the bondage that limits our full expression of love and faith and humanity.
O Holy One, our fasts only make us think about what we miss and do not point us to you. We give up sugar or screens or alcohol, and we feel not humble but self-righteous. And we know this is not the fast you choose.
Lavish us with grace, so that we may accept all your bounty in humility and gratitude. O Holy One, there is so much that is not right. Too many live in poverty and fear and neglect. Too many live without love. Too many live enraged.
Remind us that you have claimed the world and us as your own, good and beloved and redeemed.
Amen. Amen.
We are reminded of God's faithfulness in the words of Isaiah from Isaiah 49, verse 15. And these words have been set by Carrie Landry.
Let us pray. God of widows and strangers, you protect the oppressed and forgotten and feed the hungry with good things. You stand among us in Christ, offering life to all. Give us open hearts and minds to respond with love to the world, caring for those for whom you care. Amen.
The first reading today is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord.
A setting of Psalm 23 by Ralph Carmichael.
From 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 7. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to Elijah, "Get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you." So he got up and went to Zarephath. As he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. He asked her, "Please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink." As she went to get it, he called out, "And while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat?" She said, "I swear as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die." Elijah said to her, "Don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said. But first, make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of God in Israel. The jar of flour will not run out and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought." And she went right off and did it, just as Elijah asked. And it turned out as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter exactly as Elijah had delivered it. Word of God, word of life. There I was, 350 miles away from home. My money had run out. I had no job. I was raising a young child, and I was in the middle of a school program that I didn't know how I was going to pay for. That was 20-some-odd years ago. And I remember it like it was yesterday, because that was not the way God's provision looked when I decided to quit my job, move from home, and go back to school. The financial incentive package I received from my job to separate and the student loans that I had applied for and acquired seemed like they were going to last the entire length of my seminary studies and that I would be financially fine. But that is not the way that it worked out. And so in the middle of my second year, I was wondering how I was going to pay for this thing that I had started. I'm sure Elijah felt that way too, there in Wadi Cherith by the brook. God had told him that the ravens were going to feed him and the brook was going to keep him watered throughout the drought. But as the drought went on, he found those sources of provision dried up. I'm sure God's people feel that way much of the time. The things that look stable, the things that look like they provide for our care, for our every need, sometimes dry up. Sometimes unexpectedly, and sometimes we can see that's going to happen. But always when that happens, we are left pretty destitute and wondering how things are going to work out. This time seems that way too. Will things ever get back to normal? How will God provide for us? Will God provide for us? In Elijah's terms, are the ravens coming back with more bread and meat? Is this brook gonna spring to life again? And in my case, back in 1996, is my financial situation going to reverse? Or how am I going to make it through? In Elijah's case, God came with a new word and told him to go to Zarephath. God told him there was a widow there that God had commanded to provide for Elijah's needs. And so Elijah went to Zarephath, and when he saw a widow at the gate of the city, he asked her for a drink. He asked her for food. He asked her if she could help supply his needs. Well, in my case, I didn't hear a word from God telling me what to do. And I think in these days, God doesn't very often tell us exactly where to go and what to do to get what we need. But my situation did have something in common with Elijah's situation, and that is I asked for what I needed. I made it known to anyone who would listen, particularly people who loved me, that I was in financial difficulty, that I didn't see how I was going to be able to get through seminary. And money started pouring in from very unexpected places. And not just money, but money given faithfully over time. $50 a month for 2 years from a couple whose son I used to babysit. Money came like that. And it turned out that that money sustained me and it sustained my son, Matthew. It helped us get through seminary and it helped earn that degree. I graduated in 1999 with the Master's of Divinity with a good chunk of student loan debt. But I graduated with the knowledge that my education was provided for by people whom God had, well, I don't know, commanded, but God had nudged them to support me. The widow of Zarephath was like that too. God had nudged her to help support Elijah, and at risk of her own life, she said, I have very little left. I was just getting ready to make one last cake of meal for my son and I to eat, and then that's it, we're gonna die. You know, provision is like that. God's provision is like that. We share what we have, not knowing where our next meal will come from sometimes. But we share what we have, not knowing if those resources will be replenished. And we all trust that God is faithful, that God is faithful to provide what we need. It's interesting because looking back, we have more than just the knowledge that God provides, but we have also the knowledge that we're in it together. If things had gone my way, according to my financial plan, at the end of my seminary education, I would have known that I put myself through seminary, that I had planned very well, that my resources had been used according to the plan that I had made, and that I was very good at planning and very good at providing, and I had done that. But as it happens, I have to say that I know God is faithful, that God is generous, that God provides, that God lives. God caused people to be at work and to be generous on my behalf. Well, maybe even bigger than that, God caused people to raise up a pastor. That pastor happened to be me. That's what God does. And so, God, we turn to you, to your faithfulness and your provision. We ask you to give us words for the things that we need, that we might speak them to the people around us. And we pray that as you nudge people to provide for us, and as you nudge us to provide for others, that we might have the good sense to see you at work in the giving and receiving of good gifts all around us. Give us the good sense to respond to your faithfulness with faithfulness of our own. Amen.
I Will Call Upon the Lord by Michael O'Shields.
Thank you.
creeds of the church are public professions of faith. Mostly they're ancient, but we also find our faith and our belief resonating with modern creeds. And so we profess our faith in the words of the creed, God the Provider. The words are below.
We believe in the God who provides for our every need, who has an answer to our deepest questions, and a purpose for us in life. Today we praise God the Provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, our holy brother, who stands by our side when light turns into darkness, who suffers our pain and turns it into a blessing. For the presence of Christ in our lives, we praise God the Provider. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, who inspires us when our spirits are dried up, who creates something new when old structures crumble. For the spirit of hope and renewal, we praise God the Provider. Amen.
God of life, we praise you for your abiding presence from generation to generation, blessing your people, strengthening us to lives of service, empowering us to witness. Hear the prayers we offer on behalf of your creation. Expansive God, you bring diverse voices together to form your church. Open our hearts and unstop our ears to learn from one another, that differences might not overshadow our baptismal unity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Providing God, your creation shows us that life comes from death. Renew the places where our land, air, and waterways have been ill for too long, especially our own oil sands and the lands of the Klondike, where resource extraction has disturbed the land and disrupted the landscape. Direct the work of all who care for birds and for their habitats. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Protecting God, sustain and keep safe all who work to defend others across the world, especially Amnesty International and the Black Lives Matter movement. Revive and strengthen organizations dedicated to caring for refugees and migrants while their homelands struggle for peace, especially the Hizmet movement. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Loving God, you promise to be with all who are persecuted for your sake. Thank you for the work of the Affirming Network of Calgary. Guide all who speak your word of justice and console any who are tormented, marginalized, oppressed, or targeted for being who they are. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Compassionate God, you are with us and we are never alone. Bless all fathers and all father figures who strive to love and nurture as you do. Comfort all who long to be fathers and all for whom this day is difficult. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For what else do the people of God pray? Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Reigning God, you bless us with guides and caretakers in the faith. As we give thanks for those who have died, increase our care for one another until we walk with them in newness of life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Grant that as we serve you now on earth, so we may one day rejoice with all the saints in your kingdom of light and peace, through
through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Receive a blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen. Power of God's provision to love and serve the world. Thanks be to God. Happy Father's Day. It's good to worship in this way. We are keeping our in-person worship suspended through July 19th, and that's to give us a chance to see the results of the reopening of the economy. We know that worship is one of the highest risk activities that there is for social gathering and for potential spread of the virus. We have included a risk chart. So if you scroll down to the bottom of the worship page, you can see the relative risk of all the activities of reopening the economy and relaxing social isolation. So we hope that you will stay safe, that you will participate in reopening with caution. Please take care. We love you, and we are praying for the time that we will be able to worship and sing together in person again, and we will keep you posted. We will be making announcements well in advance of the time that we plan on reopening worship. Grace and peace be with you.